You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
On May 1st, 2003, George Bush declared an end to the U.S. war in Iraq. 1 year later, Cindy Sheehan's son died in combat while serving on duty there. Casey was 24. Last year, Casey's mother decided to camp out at the Crawford, Texas ranch of U.S. President George Bush. The camp became known as Camp Casey and has struck a chord with millions in America and around the world. Cindy has been protesting, organizing, and demanding to know the truth about why Bush took the U.S. to war. She began touring Canada earlier this week, and she's speaking in Vancouver tonight. And we've caught up with Cindy at the airport just after getting off the plane. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. Thank you.
Now, your efforts to hold George Bush accountable outside his ranch last year, what role has Camp Casey played for the anti-war movement in the United States?
Well, it galvanized it, it energized it, and also George Bush's ratings and the approval ratings for the war have gone down dramatically since August, and we've had Congress people and senators and other officials start calling for the end to the occupation of Iraq. So I think it played a deep and profound role in the movement in the United States.
Do you think it publicized the anti-war movement to people who might not have been aware of the extent of it before you started doing that?
Oh, absolutely. It was the anti-war peace movement was largely ignored by the mainstream media in my country, and Camp Casey changed all that. It brought it to the forefront, and it brought the debate about the war to the American mind too. And I go all over the world, and people tell me they didn't even know there was that big of an opposition to George Bush until they started seeing the coverage from Camp Casey.
I want to ask you a little bit about Casey. How did he come to be in the Army?
Well, he was 21 years old. He had been in college for 3 years already, and a Army recruiter got a hold of him and lied to him and promised him the world, and the only thing that he delivered to Casey was an early grave.
Where was he actually stationed in Iraq?
He was in Sadr City, Baghdad, and he was only there for 5 days before he was killed in combat.
Did you talk with him after he was there about what the situation was like?
No, the last time I heard from him is when he was still in Kuwait, before they staged to Iraq. And at that point, he had a calling card, and it cost him 400 minutes to connect the call, so he used up his calling card. And we didn't have an address to send him anymore, and as soon as he got a permanent address there, he was going to let us know. And in fact, he was writing a letter that he never finished to us when he was killed.
Now, you've been demanding that George Bush tell you the truth about why he took the country to war, and he refused to meet with you. What do you think the answer is to the question you'd like him to give you the answer to?
Well, I asked him what noble cause, and I really believe that the war in Iraq is nothing. There's nothing noble about it, and I think the reason he took us to war is to control the oil fields and control Iraq's natural resources and have a base for spreading imperialism.
Is this a view that you think is becoming more widely accepted in the United States?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I don't know if so many people get the war machine aspect of it, you know, the industrial-military war complex that one of our former presidents, Dwight D. Eisenhower, warned us about before he left office. But I think they're getting that it's about oil. You know, here our oil companies are making obscene, immoral record profits, and gas just keeps on going higher and higher and higher, and people are starting to make the connection.
Now, you say you wanted to ask George Bush what noble cause there would be for war. Do you
right.
believe yourself that there is a possibility of a war that has a noble cause?
Well, I think that every country and every human being has a right to defend themselves, and I don't think that that Iraq is anything about defending the United States of America. You know, I believe that when we were occupied by the British, we resisted that occupation and kicked the British out, and that's what the people of Iraq are doing right now. And I really believe that their resistance, although it's horrible and it cost me my oldest son, I believe that their resistance is justified. And I just wish there was no violence on either side. I wish our troops weren't there. I wish they weren't put in that situation.
Canada is currently an asylum, or not really an asylum, I guess, home to many war resistors. They're trying to get asylum here.
Right,
and
right.
20 are here publicly, but I understand there may be upwards of 200.
Right.
What do you think of these young soldiers who are resisting the U.S. war?
Well, I think that they're doing it out of a moral center. They don't want to go over to Iraq and participate in the war crimes of the Bush administration, because they can be prosecuted for those war crimes. And besides, they don't want to kill innocent people. And I don't think it's out of anything. There's nothing cowardly about what they're doing. It's very courageous to take a stand and say, this is not what I believe in, this is not what I signed up for, and I don't think I should have to go to prison for it, because that's the two choices our kids have, go to Iraq or go to prison. And, you know, this war has proven to be unlawful, and our soldiers have the obligation to resist unlawful orders. And for this, they're being put in prison if they refuse to go to Iraq. So I would just encourage the Canadian people to put pressure on your government to give our war resistors asylum.
What do you make of the Canadian government's response? Certainly quite different from what it was back in the Vietnam War era.
Well, I believe the government only exists at the pleasure of the people. And the people, your people, I know, overwhelmingly support giving our war resistors asylum. And the government can only exist with the consent of the governed. So if your government won't do what the people of Canada want, then they have to withdraw that consent.
Canada's recently extended its role in the war in Afghanistan, and men, women, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters have been deployed there.
Right.
What message would you like to give to Canadian families who are maybe in your situation?
Well, first of all, of course, my heart is broken for the families of the soldiers who have been killed in Afghanistan, and I extend my condolences, my sympathies, and also my apologies for what my government is doing to the people of the world. I've met people all over the world who have lost loved ones due to this illegal and immoral occupation. And I just say that, you know, Afghanistan is not a moral war either. Innocent people are dying. The country is destroyed. It's back in the power of the warlords, and it's producing more opium than it ever has before. And they don't deserve this occupation. They don't deserve having military people there. And I just want to ask, you know, the Canadian government and the people of Canada, what did the people of Afghanistan do to the people of Canada, or for that matter, the people of America? And I just want to, you know, assure all the Canadian people, too, that we in the United States are working very hard to hold our government accountable and to bring the troops home to make the world a better place. And we just want to call on our brothers and sisters across all borders to help us with that.
Thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Well, thank you, Jane, and it was nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. I've been speaking with anti-war activist and mother Cindy Sheehan.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.